Welcome to the Industrial Talk Podcast with Scott McKenzie. Scott is a passionate industry professional dedicated to transferring cutting-edge, industry-focused innovations and trends while highlighting the men and women who keep the world moving. So put on your hard hat, grab your work boots, and let's go.
All right, how are you doing this great day, this fine day, this wonderful day to celebrate industrial heroes? That's what this platform is about. You're listening to the Industrial Talk Podcast, and it is brought to you by wonderful people like you. You are bold, you are brave, you dare greatly, you innovate, and you're changing lives and you're changing the world each and every day. That's why we celebrate you on the Industrial Talk Podcast. All right, in the hot seat, his name is Gary Chan, and the company is Alfizo, Alfizo, A-L-F-I-Z-O. And we're going to be talking cybersecurity, which nobody likes to talk about. But boy, with this COVID world, it is a must conversation to have. Let's get cracking. Yeah, I just want to let you know that he is smarter than I am. Yeah, and I'm not ashamed to say that because he is smarter than I am. I like the conversation of cybersecurity, and especially when we've got this sort of spread out workforce and we're all just sort of working from our house and we're trying to get things done. And we're you know, there's a lot of things that we've got to pay attention to, which we just don't want to pay attention to. And I think one of the things that we need to pay attention to is, of course, cybersecurity. And I'm telling you right now, Gary knows his stuff. Boy, does he know his stuff. And it's interesting because I like having this conversation, but nobody likes to say, yeah, I was attacked. Yeah, I had a breach. Yeah. And so, all you can do is just sort of take the conversation like these are strategies that you can deploy, but just be mindful of it. And definitely Gary knows exactly what to do. Somewhat scary because he knows what to do. And but he's a smart doggone cookie. Now, better living through chemicals, that is my position. So I have this pool, and this is just sort of getting off on a tangent, but I have this pool. I had a pump go out, and then here in Louisiana, if you have a pump go out in your pool, it starts to grow algae very fast. And then finally, I get the pump in. We have a hurricane. Still, sort of a mess. So it's green. I was able to find a flocculant that is called, Revive. So if you have a pool out there and it's a little green, use this doggone flocculant. So what it does, I've just never seen anything like it. It just takes care of that green stuff. It's amazing. And it's not, and it just drops down. You vacuum it up. Pool is absolutely clean. Let's celebrate flocculant. So anyway, it's just an interesting story. Now, on the other hand, I did a live because it was about webinars, and I've got a big beef about webinars, and you need to go out there to my LinkedIn account, or you can go online to industrialtalk.com, listen to it. It's good, and I mean, it's good because I'm just sort of stating the realities, and we've got to figure this out. As industrial professionals, we've got to figure this out and be able to do it in a better way because we're losing people. We're losing people. People are not paying attention. People are not engaged, and we need to figure that out. Do we continue to just bring out these big doggone conference events and hope some people are listening, or do we try to pare it down and be a little bit more targeted and have more engagement? Because really, once again, we'd collaborate, and if we can collaborate, even virtually collaborate, and when people have ideas, we're all better for it because they're thinking about it. And I know I think about it, and I know you think about it. So I highly recommend that you listen to that particular podcast or video it or whatever it is. It's out there, and it is alive. And I just sort of, it was a bitch session. That's pretty much it. And then I came up with some solutions because I've been living through it. All right, let's get on with the interview. Once again, it's cybersecurity, right? Let's have this conversation. Let's put our big boys and girl pants on, and let's have this conversation. Gary Chan is the gent. The company is Alfizo, A-L-F-I-Z-O, and that's the domain, too. I'm surprised that the Damone was not taken. That's a joke. Anyway, he does. And boy, I'll tell you, on the form, I'm looking at the form right here. He's quite thorough. And like I said, he's smarter than I am. And I'm okay with that. And then he also gives free stuff out there. It looks like starttrainingalfizo.com. I will have that link with his podcast big time so that you don't have to sit there and try to figure out where to find the guy. You're going to have it all there. Just go to industrialtalk.com, reach out to, or just type in the search, Gary Chan, C-H-A-N. You'll find it. You get all the doggone contact information, plus his podcast, plus his video, plus everything else that you can possibly imagine. All right, let's get on with the interview. Enjoy Gary Chan. Gary, welcome to the Industrial Talk Podcast. Absolute honor that you have joined this particular platform, and you're going to share your sage cybersecurity advice with the listeners. That's pretty damn cool. How are you doing?
I'm doing very well. Thank you for having me, Scott. Real pleasure to be here.
I love it. It's a little late at night, but it's a weird time change, by the way. Anyway, I don't care. All right, for the listeners out there, give us a little 411. Give us a little background on who you are and why you're such an incredible professional, Gary.
So I'm an information security management consultant. I earned a bachelor's degree in electrical engineering and computer science from MIT and hold multiple security certifications. I've designed and deployed security solutions to state agencies as well as run the information security department for large cap companies. Fun fact, almost everyone in the US has used solutions that I've helped design. And today I help executives achieve their business goals that are related to security.
I love it. Doggone it. You sort of like reading from a card, aren't you? You're rattling that off from a card. I can tell.
All right. Well, let's see if I correctly predicted stuff.
That's right. I'm going to make you dance. I'm telling you right now. Now, one of the things that I've been struggling, that's sort of an over-exaggeration, but really we need to talk more, especially now, COVID, all of the good stuff that, when I say good, I mean just sort of things that we have to deal with in COVID. Companies trying to, you know, survive, rebuild, and prosper. What does that market look like? How do we do it? Where do we stand? And one of the things that people are somewhat reluctant, and they are, is to talk a little bit about cybersecurity. It's either falls into, I'm trying to survive. I don't have time to talk about cybersecurity and why that's important. Or I've had problems with cybersecurity, but I don't want to talk about it, so I'm going to ignore it. So both are very much challenging. But I'm interested in talking to you today about cybersecurity and what's taking place in the COVID-19 world. Can you just sort of lay things out on what's happening?
Well, yeah, no, it's pretty quite interesting. Whenever all the businesses shut down back in March, basically cyber went away. In fact, a lot of my colleagues, unfortunately, got laid off, frankly.
It's not good. Yeah.
No, it's not good at all. So businesses said, oh, well, I got nothing to protect, so don't need it. But then I think probably like late summer, people just been banging down the door. I mean, it just doesn't stop. Because basically everyone sort of shut down their security over the summer, and then they realized that they kind of need it. So I think it sort of went really way down, but then it went way back up. And I think the market's really, really changed. High level employees have, they're now working from home, so it's different. Employees using internet a lot more.
And hey, those are challenging little areas that you got to try to manage. That's for damn sure.
Yeah, definitely. A lot of change.
So why? What all, you had the COVID, boom, hit you. You got to shut down. You got to adjust. You got to sort of change the way you do business. It happens. People start coming back. You still have that remote workforce. How come all of a sudden businesses said, I need to do this? What was taking place in the world at that time, outside of the obvious?
Right. Well, I think it's basically, so let's look at it from the hacker standpoint, right? So we got to look at it really from that standpoint. So yeah. What you've got is you've got people working from home. Yep. They are now using the internet more. They don't have as much security there. I can still steal the same amount of stuff. It's now easier to steal it. The police, yeah, they're not really looking as hard for this because, they're really busy doing other stuff right now. So if I get caught, I'm probably not going to get penalized. So, it just makes a lot of sense for me to hack. It just does. And so
I agree. That is a really interesting problem statement. Yeah. Continue. Go. I'm sorry. I agree with
you. Yeah. No. So exactly it, right? So the calculus has changed for the hackers. It's now more valuable and their cost is much lower. So I'm going to hack. And so basically businesses, a lot of them have been breached, over the past several months over COVID. Like if you just do a search on the internet, I know it didn't make the news very much because COVID has been basically the front page news, but every company's being hacked left and right because the calculus changed for the hackers.
Yeah, so that's because why they care now. Come on. You're just like, okay, so you're at your office, you're around, and you've got some sort of level of control at a sort of your office, your brick and mortar setup. It's all there. And then all of a sudden, everybody just goes on home. I've got my Wi-Fi. I'm just having a grand old time. Still got to get stuff done, right? But the hackers know that.
That's right.
Tell me why. Hackers do what they do. I don't get it. It's like doing. I don't get it. Just psychologically, really, money.
It's just money. I mean, come on. So it you know, you can either, let's say you want to rob a bank, right? So you in the past you would like get a gun, go into the thing. You'd have to. It's all this crazy stuff, right? Maybe you watch Ocean's 11 or whatever, right? But there's stuff you can do there. But now I can just do it like in my basement. Like I can just do it there and I can steal, like imagine how much you basically need to get a truck if you're going to steal like $10 million, you need a truck, right? I mean, I can steal $10 million by pressing a few buttons. I mean, yes, it's more skill required, but I mean, I don't need a truck. I can be halfway across the world where, what are they going to do, right? If I'm not in a country that can be extradited to the US. So it just makes a lot of sense.
So there's the financial, there's the fact that it's pretty challenging also to run these individuals down, right? It can be. I mean, you're looking at a bunch of people out there in this whole world, and many of them are trying to break in, and it's hard. It's not two people, it's thousands that are trying to break into your systems. Now, with that said, I think that's a really interesting problem statement. Now, with that said, me as a company, I'm not going back to my office. It is what it is. I mean, right now, we're all just sort of hunkered down in our basements, whatever you want to call this, home. And we're hunkered down. What can I do as a business? Because I'm pretty vulnerable right now. What do I need to do?
So you can do a couple of things. One is focus on endpoint protection. So whatever it is that the employees have at their house, you'll want to protect it there rather than on the network, which is what companies used to do, which was do a lot of protection on the network. And secondly,
just 1 second. Define endpoint. What is that?
Oh, so like your mobile phone, your laptop, right? Make sure that you have antivirus on there. Make sure you've got other types of software that will help make sure that you're not losing data or, getting malicious malware and stuff like that.
Sure.
Yeah. And I think a second thing that a lot of companies could be doing, which is actually really cheap to do, but they just don't do it, is security awareness training. So I know that everybody says, oh yeah, I've got my security awareness training. I make everybody watch this, 30-minute video once a year. And I got to tell you, most people, they just sort of click play and it runs in the background and they're done.
Hey, all right, I get to watch the security video. I better take notes. I better grab my notebook, take notes. Really? Oh, yeah. That's an important point. Oh, no, they're not doing that. Nope,
no, I want to tell you. I want to tell you a fun story, actually.
Yeah.
So there was this company that, I was asked to, just do just sort of a phishing exercise, right? So I sent phishing emails to everybody. And then afterwards, I said, hey, what do you think the percentage of people that clicked on the email link and gave me their username and password? And the answer was 25%. I'm like, 25% of you gave it to me, right? And I'm like, so you want to get security training, right? And so basically the company's like, yeah, we want to do this. And so we did it. We had it. Everybody went through training. They all did that. And then the next year did the same thing. And so I said, okay, look, You know, some of you might be new people, but here's what happened, 25%. You all got training. So how many of you think that you're like way better than you were last year? And like everybody rose their hand.
Oh, I'm better now. I'm smarter.
Yeah. So I'm like, how many you think this year, right? And everybody guessed a lower number. I was like, actually, this year, 50%.
No, is that true?
Yeah, 50%. I know. Oh. I was like, because every one of you thought that you were better. So now, like, you weren't. The thing is that I got new tools. I started getting better at fishing people. Yeah. And everybody basically stayed where they were. And so, you know, it's pretty funny. You can craft stuff. Like, if the World Cup, you can just, you know, whatever it is, that the COVID it. Stuff, they click on it.
Oh, I see it. It's like, hey, that is so. What did the executive think about that?
I didn't, you know, he wasn't too happy with it, but, you know, I'm like, this is what it is.
Okay, so outside of the fact that I've been happy, we've got to do endpoint, lockdown, make sure that that's pretty secure, and then we've got to do some training. What else do I need to do to make sure? Now I'm at home. I'm still at home. It might go on forever. I might become lazy, whatever it might be. What else can I do to help, secure my systems?
If you're the company sort of executive, I think hiring an external assessor to come in and just take a look, that'll be really helpful. He may not, I don't know how big the company is, obviously. For your listeners,
my company's big. So it's huge. It's massive. I just do this for fun.
I believe the last part. I do believe you do it for fun.
I do. I do. That's for sure.
You can hire an assessor to go in, take a look, and then that person would probably be able to give you much better, more specific advice based upon, your organization size, what your hackers are doing, things like that.
It's got to be more challenging. If I like that. Okay. I'm all about collaborating. I'm all about finding the right people to do the right things. And especially now, but as your workforce is all just disconnected, it's all, spread around wherever and whatever, that assessing makes it's even more challenging, correct?
Yeah, it is. But what's good is that if your organization, has it systematized where everything's repeatable, then you really only need to assess a few people, and then just see kind of, what they're doing, because basically everyone else is probably doing very similar stuff. And then depending upon what you roll out, you can see, what you can actually even just see it all from my basement and just see what everyone's doing without actually talking with anybody, right? Because if you interview people and ask them what they're doing, one, they're going to lie to you, and two, they're going to forget, and so they probably don't remember half the things that they did, but you can actually just see what they do.
I hate laughing about the whole thing, but it's if I was a hacker, this is like, wow, this is an exciting time for me, because what you have too is the end user. There's a level of uncertainty. So I'm not as focused, possibly. I might be doing, I don't know. There's just some more emotional challenges that I'm dealing with, right? And so I would imagine if a focused hacker, but I'm locked down, so don't even think about it on the podcast. I'm locked down, you hacker. But I am. Yep. I keep everything I do as much as I possibly can. I do. Don't. Boy, am I opening myself up for problems? I'm not going to.
Well, I hope that you are locking it down properly. Oh, yeah. I did have one executive tell me he was totally secure, and he was very serious. He showed me the lock that he put on his computer. Different type of security.
But a different type. Yeah, they're not stealing it.
That's right.
Wink, wink, nudge, nudge. Yeah, you keep logging it down. So now we have the external assessor. What else can I do? I would imagine if I'm looking at a pie and I'm actively locking down that endpoint, I am doing some training, mm-hmm. real training, and you businesses out there have your employees focus and understand, because there's some crafty people out there, and then having that external assessor to be able to say, hey, it's red light, yellow, green light, you're good, whatever, have that type of thing. What else are we missing here?
I think that's really what the company should be doing. I mean, I can give you a laundry list of like 100 or 200 different things, but I'm going to tell you, you're not going to pay attention to it. So you might as well just hit the big targets out. And that's really what it's going to be. Like, this is going to get you the 70, 80% of the way there.
See, I like that. I like that. And then you can get there, have that reinforcement of the training, keep current, keep assessing, and keep moving forward. And eventually you could probably chip away at, let's say, the remaining 30% in some way, shape, or form, but you don't have to bog people down. You pretty much feel pretty good about the security situation.
I'm just going to mention one thing.
Yeah.
You actually don't need to get to 100, because frankly, there are so many businesses that are like worse than you, that it's the hackers are just going to go get to those people. So if you do that, if you do these three things, you're actually going to be pretty good.
Gary, you're a bit scary. You're a bit scary for me. Just FYI, because that's exactly what people would do. Try to get there. Can't go over here. Can't. Here we go. Yeah,
that's right.
Yeah. I hear you, like yesterday's news, definitely big time. So what's the biggest roadblock? What are we talking about? This is all great. It's all great stuff, but it's not, once again, it's not, you know, cotton candy and lollipops and pink elephants out there. What's the biggest roadblock for this?
I think the biggest roadblock is people's understanding that just because they don't see an issue doesn't mean that there isn't one. So usually companies only budget for things that they perceive. And if they don't perceive that they're being hacked, like I constantly hear the, oh, Gary, we're fine. We're fine. We have no issues here. I'm like, well, have you looked? No. But I don't need to. I know. Right. And then like I get a phone call, like, you know, it probably isn't going to be tomorrow or even the next week, but like 6 months later, they're going to call me. So
yeah,
it's because they didn't look, but then they find out, you know, some money's missing from the bank account. So
yeah, nobody's coming in with a doggone banner saying, hey, I'm hacking you. Hey, you know, of course they're not going to sit there. They're going to be pretty, pretty shifty.
That's right.
Doggone it. I like that. But so it's really, it always gets down to the human side, doesn't it? I mean, you could technically, you know, the technology, you get the right people in place, but you get the technology and you line that up right, you're pretty good. It always gets down to humans. It always gets down to the culture and the humans of the organization. So I got it, baby. So
I'll mention a couple of things on that.
Please.
So you know, whenever the companies first shut down, I think about the March, April timeframe.
Yeah.
We could actually measure how many people were copying out data to external hard drives at home, company data to the external hard drives. That went up by 123% just in like the 4 weeks, whatever the company shut down, because everyone thought they were going to be laid off. And then they started stealing. So that's kind of interesting.
Yeah, it's interesting. All right. I didn't know that.
Yeah.
Oh.
And just another one too. So, you know, if you're a hacker, you can do a couple of things. One is you can actually try to break into the systems. Another thing is you can just bribe an employee. So if I were to like, well, I shouldn't use me as an example. I would never do this, of course. But you know, what some hackers do is if they want to install ransomware, what they'll actually do is they'll contact someone either through LinkedIn or whatever. They just find somebody who works there and they'll be like, hey man, what if you just, I send you an email and you double click on this, your company gets infected and I'll pay you some of that money that the company pays out. And you, it looks like you just clicked the link. Like it's, you know, you'll keep your job. Do you know how much they offer for like, if you're like at a Fortune 500 company, like how much the average offer for you to click on that is?
No.
$500,000 to $1 million.
No way. Give me a come on.
Yeah. It's crazy because if they do click, and you can think of all of the company, I won't name any companies on this show, but you can just look them up. And they're paying millions of dollars for this ransomware. So if they just have to pay
how
you out,
that is not illegal.
Of course it's illegal.
Okay. I'm just sitting there. You got this ransomware thing. It's like, come on.
Yeah. Of course, it's illegal, but imagine how many people would be willing to click for $500,000.
I'm going
to
go curl up in a ball right now just because I'm afraid. I'm afeard. All right. Yep. With that said, I'm looking out at your form that you filled out. which is quite extensive, by the way, very well laid out. It's almost like a dissertation in cybersecurity, and I have it. But you've got a sort of a giveaway. Give us a little talk a little bit about that giveaway, because now I'm nervous and I need to talk to you.
All right. Well, I just want everyone to have an opportunity to, you know, just if they want to give their employees some training, I have a freemium product there. It's start-training.alfizo.com. Basically, you can sign up. You can have all of your employees kind of watch a bunch of security videos. They're all very short, about a minute each. So you can just watch a couple and then stop or whatever. It'll just help, right? Right. And the average person, average company can just do it. It's free. You don't have to pay for anything. I think it'll help a lot with the security posture of your company, especially with people working.
I like that. Give us a little background on Alfizo, the name.
Oh,
because
I want to. So I spent a couple of months just trying to think of a company name, something that started with an A, so it showed up towards the beginning alphabetically, something that I could trademark, so it is trademarked, and something that was fairly easy to spell, something that I could get the phone number for, so 929
Alfizo.
Yeah, like... the URL. Yep. So I had a bunch of requirements, and that fit the cake.
I love it. Because I'll tell you right now, there are people that have these lengthy URLs, and it's like, I can't spell it. My fat fingers can't type it, and I'm not sending you an email.
Yep.
It's the way it is. All right. Are you active out there on LinkedIn?
I am. LinkedIn.com /in/GSChan2000.
It is. So it, Gary S. Chan, that's cool. He's got mad skills out there. MIT, university. He went to schools that have no football. That's it. That's what I see.
I know. No football. But they have a good rowing team.
They got a rowing team. That's right. Yeah, very good. Very good. All right. You guys got to reach out. You will not be disappointed. I'm telling you, this was a great conversation. Don't lollygag. Hear the information. Reach out to Gary in a big doggone way. Gary, thank you very much for joining the Industrial Talk Podcast. You were an absolute wonderful guy.
Well, a real pleasure to be here. Thanks a bunch, Scott.
And thank you for what you do. I mean, that's a labor of love. I'm telling you, it's a labor of love.
Well, thank you. And I love listening to your podcast. Just the energy on here is fantastic.
It's energy. All right, listeners, we're going to wrap it up on the other side. You know that. I'm going to have that link as per Gary's request. You got to do that. Just do it. All right. Stay tuned. We'll be right back.
You're listening to the Industrial Talk Podcast Network.
All right. What did I tell you about Gary? Gary, once again, Gary's he's smarter than I am. And he's really, you can tell how passionate he is about this. And I'm glad we have people like Gary because he is passionate. He is really there to help us succeed and be able to protect us from stinking nefarious people who don't care about you. And they don't care about you. They want to take your stuff. And they don't want you to know about it. So they're nasty people, and Gary's there to help you with those nasty people. All right, again, I want you to go out there. Let's build on this webinar concept. I'm going to be doing a live tomorrow. No, Wednesday. Anyway, I'll send it out there. Anyway, we're going to be talking, and we're going to start venturing into sales marketing, especially in this particular environment. I want you to be bold. Do not get back. Do not pull back. I want you to be brave. I want you to dare greatly. And I want you to do it with speed and tenacity and hang out with people who are bold and brave and daring greatly. Your world will change in a jet freaking second. All right. Thank you very much for joining. We have another great interview right around the corner. Thank you for joining the Industrial Talk Podcast. We will be right back.